2 Timothy chapter 1. We studied Persuaded yesterday. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. There's a couple more persuaded that I want to look at. So Romans 8. Starting verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am persuaded. Now this is the penultimate persuaded. That nothing can separate us from that love except us. Our minds are so evil that they're just not to be trusted at all. We talked yesterday about that in order to know good, you have to have a fully experiential knowledge of evil. Now, when I say that, it struck me that people would think that that meant evil by their definition. Remember, good is what's in line with the will of God. Evil is what's not in line. It has nothing to do with our definitions of good or evil. Evil is fundamentally self-seeking. Good is abandoning yourself to his love. Amen?
Yeah, I was thinking you don't have to go anywhere and really do anything to experience that. You just need to see your own, you know, the way you are clearly, you know, the evil. It's not like you have to visit someplace.
Well, if you have to, if you think you do, you
yeah,
have to.
To get to that point, though, it's still all right here.
The problem with everyone's wanting to go somewhere else is that they take themselves with them. So by definition, it's impossible to escape that which is evil until you pick up the cross. All right, let's go to Romans 14. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat or food for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He is persuaded that there is nothing unclean of itself. Again, an incredible persuaded.
Seems to be a function of being in Christ, because that's where the persuasion transaction takes place. It's not a mental, I think, I'm pretty sure, but it's a beyond no doubt about it.
Well, it's mental, where you can empathize and see it. But it's physical when you can't empathize, and you have to go the full direction.
This is wild, because it's like, use the term persuaded, even though it says I know I'm persuaded. It's like I didn't think this cool thing up, because I never would have been able to. I had to be, God had to persuade me through all these different, seeing these different things, well, experiencing these different things.
Paul had to experience, those incredible, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten unmercifully, he was jailed, and finally beheaded. But he was persuaded that nothing could separate him from the love of God, the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. One more persuaded.
What? The whole deal about saying, I know, he's already said, I know. For me, Tom Brooks, and once you said I know, that's all there is to say. But he's got to add, and I'm persuaded. That's, my brain's still trying to wrap around. How can you get more knowing than I know? That to me is kind of like, icing on the cake.
Yeah. First Timothy. No, I'm sorry. Second Timothy.
Yeah, really wrapped you up.
Chapter 1. We'll get to this one someday. Let's just start at 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of the revelation of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Songs about that persuaded. All right. Back page for me. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the laying or the putting on of my hands. That thou stir up, those four words are one word in Greek. It's anazopario, which means it's that which a fire is kindled. It's to inflame something. And gift is charisma. And you have to now get rid of all your definitions of charisma or charismatic. There are two things. There's the fruit of the Spirit, and there are the gifts of the Spirit, right? Fruit and gifts. so we think of those as all kinds of harebrained things and far out things. But the fruit of the Spirit, let's look at that first. Galatians 5. Verse 22. The fruit, singular, not fruits. Galatians 5. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That fruit defines the personality of Jesus Christ. It can't be separated into pieces. It's not about peace or joy or love. It's about one thing. Okay, the same as with the gift of the gifts of the Spirit. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 12. Chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment, discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the fruit of the Spirit is the personality of Jesus Christ. The gifts of the Spirit are the activities of Christ. You got to think of it, and then he goes on and describes it. Now we are the body of Christ. And this body has a jillion different manifestations, a jillion different people. It's like your human body. Every cell of your body has the DNA to create another perfect example of who you are. Now, that's why Jesus in Psalms, where it's such, he's calling for his sister, his love. Now, as we, as members of the body of the mystery of Christ, from all ages and all times and all places, that same Spirit is working just like in our body. And our bodies are the pristine revelation of this mystery. You don't have a gift. If you keep it for 1 second, it's polluted. If somebody says they have the gift of healing, run from them. If someone else says, well, I have the gift of prophecy or the gift of tongues or whatever it is, run from them. Because the gift works severally in the body by its own, I'm talking about in the universal body of Christ. That's the actions of the mystery, the actions of the bride. Is that clear? I've seen more crap in the name of God in this over this issue, over this so-called gifts of the Spirit, than anything else, any other kind of heresy. There's more fraud in the name of God among those that are of the charismatic bent than any other kind of fraud. And that's sickening.
Well, let's talk about where it's pretty specific. For one is given the spirit of wisdom, another this, another that.
But that's at the point. It's as the body is working.
Right. But is there a proclivity in a person to have a certain activity or no?
I don't think so. If it's conscious, if you're conscious of it, then you've polluted it.
Yeah, that's different, though. I mean,
well, let's read on, and we'll see.
It's almost like saying the hand is the hand, and that it does what it does. And so if you're the hand of the body, you do what you do, and you don't worry about the rest of it.
So, well, let's look.
The way it reads, that's what it looks.
Okay, let's look. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? And now they are the many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head or to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice in it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. What?
Was that an answer to the question? You were going to go somewhere with that.
That's the question. That's the answer, yeah.
I mean, it still sounds like the different members have different functions. And I don't see a problem with that.
Well, it could be talking about people, or it could be talking about the activity of the gift. And so at any given moment, don't despise somebody who's got the gift that doesn't seem to be as whatever, you know. But then it talks about something else about the prophets, teachers, apostles, and all that.
If you're aware of the gift.
Well, if you go around claiming that you are that and getting pride and esteem, personal esteem, that's ridiculous. Then invalid, subject to deceptions. But if you are free and operating, I mean, and here, anybody can.
Amen. But what is this thing that's? Let's talk about the whole of what we see in today's Christianity. In the charismatic part of Christianity, which is the fastest growing in terms of members all over the world. And included in that is the prosperity gospel, the healing ministries, the deliverance ministries, all of those different things that they actually say that that's what they are. We are the Kansas City prophets, or we have a deliverance ministry, and this deliverance minister is coming to your town. Or we have a healing ministry. All of these things. There is more corruption in that than any other part of what we call modern Christianity. The corruption is almost unbelievable. The lies. You know, Jesus and I were talking today, and he told me. No, he didn't. So that's what's happened right now in terms of, and that's why it's so critical that you don't, if you are aware of it, then you will be, it'll seduce you.
It sounds like we're talking about two definitions of charismatic, because charismatic to me means this book is alive, it's filled with him, and as you see him, you're like him. It's all, there's nothing, that's not bad. So there's another charismatic where I guess it's they're taking this living word and applying it to self and then profiting from it, either financially or any other way you can profit. And so that is the deceptive charismatic, but there is a charismatic.
Those are just the extremes. I mean, those are just the extremes of what we're talking about. What was that? I always think it's trite and trivial, but I looked at Jesus and the dove of peace flew in my heart, and I looked at the dove and he flew away or something like that. But you did. That's what you're talking about, Gary. And that's what Ole's, you know, talking about as well, because you can't focus on, it's a self-awareness, you know, the dove of peace goes and flies off.
Mm-hmm. Every one of those gifts that were just talked about, I've experienced. What I'm not going to say, and I'm not going to go and be something about over that.
Today I'm going to be a prophet today. I'm going
to
look around and see what
I'm
prophesying about.
Come see me, I have to get to you.
Well, you know, I was thinking of as the body as the bride of Christ, and the concept of a woman is, you know, there's something about a woman who's attractive but doesn't know she's attractive. Or, you know, it's like, rather than, and that's the, you know, that's the
same thing. Deal, you know? My perfect woman, when I was thinking about such things back then, was a woman who came in second in the Miss America contest or whatever, you know, so that there is this grace. You cannot have grace when you're aware of yourself, because then you become, you know, one of these starlets in California that we've all talked about before, where they were a starlet, they had a minor role in some movie. Now they're 40 years old or 50, and they're still trying to be the same. And it's just pathetic, because they're aware of self. The mystery of grace is it's surprising, it's unawares, and. You know, your bent is to want to go in that direction. And we've talked about it many times over the years. And so when this happens, and it's happened, there are many people here that are quote unquote charismatic. But it's what are those that you've got on your feet?
Those are charismatic slippers.
They're mopeds.
Oh, my God.
Need some attention?
I've been selling them.
Some
Who's going to buy them?
A lot of people like them. You can do them in different colors. They don't have to be so flamboyant.
You might look good in some of those.
I wouldn't be that cute on you.
They might improve my appearance.
Couldn't hurt.
Anyhow.
Change the focus.
Yeah, that just shocked me when I looked down here and saw. Anyhow, that's enough for today.
This is just basically like you're open to, you know, like it says, desire the best gifts and all that kind of stuff. But, and then that's it. You leave it up to God. And then you just
leave. Moment self-awareness comes, it's polluted.
It's got to be that way, or else it's against the whole rest of the
Amen. Life. Amen.
So,
in the world, when somebody is aware of themselves, they act self-affected and not natural. So it would make sense that the spirit isn't moving.
Amen.
And it has the same thing of, like, you know, just teaching a Bible study. You know, if you think I'm the teacher and I'm, you know, it's like, no, you know, it's just be. Yeah. Or otherwise, it starts to get weird. So, and like we were talking last night about teachers of the kids. You know. Different schools and things you're talking about, comparing these ways of teaching it. You know, teachers who don't want to admit they're wrong because you're the teacher, you know, something. And then you know, everybody's getting a little too out of hand. You know, it's like
when we had the school.
Your, it's not your group. You know?
When we had the school here, the time that people got in the most trouble with me is when I heard a teacher say, "Because I told you so." That's like a death blow. Child asked a question. The answer is, because I told you so. That's not the way God works. And so that
understanding.
There's no humility in that. There's only tyrant. I'm saying that's true with when you're raising kids. Because I told you so, if you say that, then you've lost your authority as a parent. I like that phrase, if you ever have to use authority, you don't have it. The same is true with the gifts. If you become aware of them, then you've polluted them. Because the gifts are given without repentance. He doesn't take them back. You have the right, you have the ability to misuse them.
I was just thinking how it's always been a little sensitive to even discuss it within our community over the years. But that's built right into the thing. If you start discussing it, it's like now you're talking about it. Rather than it happening, you're analyzing. And I know many times we've tried to open up the subject and we've got all kinds of weirdness and stopped.
Well, again, the only thing that the one of the spiritually. You know, that's what it says here. The weakest are the ones that are the most important. The ones that, you know, Shannon is more important, far more important than I am. Because she's the perfect example of what total dependence is. We want to have some control. We want to have some identity. And when we try that, then we are blaspheming the name of God. We've tried to get identity our whole life. But identity, God gives us personality, not identity. And personality is explosive. It's charisma. It's the true meaning of charisma, where there is no, you know, I'm not thinking too clearly, but I hope you understand me. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, we'll probably study more on that tomorrow. Take it, big guy.
You'll be